Welcome to Co-op Mode, round 134. This is the official video game podcast of Secret Friends Unite. I am one of your hosts, Todd Oxtra. Oh my goodness, it's almost summer here, and St. Patrick's is just in front of us. So you know what? I'm ready to drink some green beer and watch some NCAA basketball. Joined by the Canardian, Mark Carabin. Mark, how are you doing, bud?
I'm good, man. All the snow that we got a few weeks ago is pretty much melted, so I'm feeling good. I'm happy the snow is going away, and I'm ready to drink whatever green beverage you put in front of me.
A little Shamrock Shake with maybe a little Irish whiskey in it. You know what?
Let's go.
Nothing's more Irish than that. Very cool. And we are joined by a new friend who will be joining the co-op couch tonight, and that is Clint. Clint is from the XCP Discord, a huge supporter of content creators, and also a damn good Helldivers 2 player. My, Clint, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it was great. I asked Luke, I said, hey, looking for some new voices, some folks come on the show. I think you were also on the community show that they have. Yeah. So I think that's really how we kind of got connected. So, and it's a great Discord group if you are an Xbox person. Great place to be. Almost as cool as our Discord.
Almost.
especially if you like bad Star Wars memes for myself and you know, Mark just doesn't even encourage me anymore because he knows the bad things that'll happen there. So Clint, I'm going to ask you three questions. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Charlie's Force Ghost is always lurking.
You guys have known each other for 487 years, I think, at this point.
Yes.
And
yes.
Somehow you still, like, he hasn't learned that you're just trying to troll him with the Star Wars stuff.
Yes.
It's incredible to watch. You're like the two, Statler and Waldorf or something from the Muppets or whatever. Like, it just, fantastic.
I've convinced him I've got like this like yaddle, like unhealthy yaddle, like perversion. Yeah. And he's bought into it. So, so if you want more of those hot takes, every once in a while, I do appear on Holocron Chronicles. So you know what? Could just turn in for me because it's comedy gold, folks, and bad Star Wars takes. So sometimes I'm right. Most of the time I'm wrong. But with that, Clint, I have three questions for you.
Uh-oh.
First console you ever owned.
Probably the NES. Well, my parents owned it, but that was the first thing that got me into it, was playing Mario Brothers.
That counts. That's,
it's all downhill from there.
Love it. Love it. Okay. First game you ever purchased with your own hardcore money, hard earned money, I guess.
I think it was going to be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Back in Time. It was on the Super Nintendo.
Turtles in Time.
Turtles in Time. Yep. Yep.
Great. I just played that like maybe a week ago.
It's a classic. Me and my friends still quote amazing, like the level designs and stuff like that for sure.
Love it. Okay. Last question. What was the one video game, the first video game that really said, wow, this is going to be a part of my life forever? Video games.
Probably, like, I enjoyed video games for sure all through the NES and stuff, but it was probably, I think it was Dragon Warrior on the NES. It was my first RPG as well. And I just got, I've been addicted to RPGs since then, and then getting sucked into the world of games since then for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. I remember that was the first RPG I ever played.
Oh, really?
Because my neighbor had it, who I used to babysit for. It was, I believe, that was the game that everybody who had Nintendo Power got, because they had a million copies and they couldn't get rid of them. It's Dragon Quest and I forgot whatever one in Japan, but it was Dragon Hero, I believe. Dragon Warrior, sorry, in the U.S. And the greatest mistake ever made in games, I thought wearing a cursed belt was a good idea. And it was not. It didn't lie.
Nope.
Advertising.
Nope. No, it did not.
No, it did not. Well, thank you for that. I'm sure this helps people understand who you are a little bit better and the gamer you are today. So with that, Mark, please thank our Patreons.
Yeah. So I guess, as Todd said, we have to thank our patrons before we really get into the show any more than we already have. So you can head over to patreon.com/secretfriendsunite right now if you want a 7-day free trial to get access to all the stuff, including ad-free episodes, ad-free shows of this and all the other Secret Friends shows. But you can join amazing people like our Friends with Benefits tier, John Sedorf, the Phoenix Sisters Cosplay, Brendan Myers, Matthew Keel, and Corian HD, as well as our BFF tier, Sean Stella and Henry Nias, and Missy Merchant. Again, no ads for patrons. YouTube podcasts, we're on there now because Google Podcasts kind of like did a changeroo. And a lot of exclusive fun content. So head on over to patreon.com/secretfriendsunite and check us out there. Throw a buck our way if you can. And if not, we always appreciate, you know, subscribing, liking, sharing, all that kind of fun stuff that's free of charge and just helps us grow.
Yeah, we love digital high fives. We love all of those things. So thank you so much for our supporters. So one thing that we love to do that maybe everyone hates, but you know what? It doesn't matter. This is what you pay us for, to make great content like our favorite topic of the show, which is buy, rent, return. My goodness. This week, because we had some bad news about a very anticipated Star Wars game that we were so excited for.
Talked about that.
Yes.
The day that we dropped the episode is the day that this effing game got canceled. And we spent some time talking about it. Like... Oh, man.
So that game that got canceled, or I guess has been rumored to be canceled now, is the Mandalorian game by Respawn Games. EA, yeah, we'll talk about more about kind of some of the bad news, but, you know, that getting a game canceled when you're hearing about it and you're so anticipated for it just hurts your soul, you know? Mm-hmm. Just it's like someone you never even got a chance to meet. You know, it's like oh, I could have met one of the Beatles and they just passed away. And you're like, ah, no. Or, you know, it's like that movie rumor you heard about. And like, oh, that sounded so cool. Like George Miller's Justice League. That was going to be awesome. Never happened. Mm-hmm. So with that, I picked canceled games by Rent Return this week. Yeah, I have Retro's rumored Zelda game. Retro Studios, they're a Nintendo studio that is most famous for the Metroid Prime games. Star Wars 1313. This is one of the first games that was rumored to come out and was canceled. There was another one that was Ragtag, I believe it was Amy Hennig's Star Wars game, that was also canceled too, which we're now hearing is, you know, which is a shame. And then also Prey 2. Now, people are like, Prey 2, didn't we get like a second Prey game? This is the Prey game that we were shown a trailer of, where it was basically an intergalactic bounty hunter. It's an amazing trailer. After that trailer, people were like, this looks so awesome. It's so different than the first game, which was a Native American hero who did soul walking, went through doors and things like that. And then we obviously get the later Prey, which is made by... Oh, I'm blanking their names.
Same people who did Dishonored there.
Yes.
It's awful.
Yes, I'm blanking their names. But the folks who did Dishonored did a Prey game where it was almost like Men in Black, which is kind of cool. But this Prey 2 game looked phenomenal, and we're never getting it. So that makes me sad, but we will always have the trailer. So Star Wars 1313, we did get some release footage. Yes, Arcane. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. Star Wars 1313, we did get like some released footage of that game, and then Retro Zelda game, the only thing we have is some like some pictures of what concept they had kind of done as like concept art. So that's all we've got. So with that, Clint, of these games, what would you buy, what would you rent, and which would you return for the hopes that they would actually be made?
I just now heard about the Retro's Zelda game, so I looked into that a little bit before the show here, and it definitely sounded interesting. It sounded different than what most Zelda games were going towards, but I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so back in what was it, 2005 or something, when 1313 was announced, and I remember, or 2012 I think, I remember watching E3 and that trailer came on, and I was just hype through the roof for that game. It just looked amazing, especially back in that time. So, and then Prey 2, yeah, that looked really good as well. I wasn't a huge fan of the first one, but I was, you know, definitely looking forward to after seeing that trailer. After looking up the Zelda stuff, I'm probably going to say buy Star Wars 1313, rent the Prey 2, and I'm sad to say, you know, cancel Zelda game the way it sounded. Right. Probably going to get a lot of hate for that. But
yeah, Mark's going to like stab you through the internet right now. It's like, what the hell, man?
Not a very good first impression. Sorry, Mark.
I think with my answer too. That's all right.
Okay. Well, with that, Mark, I will give the few Patreon I'll give their guesses for this or their selections. Winter Gamer says, buy Zelda because my blood bleeds tunic green and could use a different Zelda. Very true. Rent 1330 because I'm very interested in what it was going to be, but believe there's a reason the game didn't pull through. And Return Prey because the first one never grabbed my attention to get the game. Yeah, it's a completely different like game, different developer, kind of crazy. So all good picks there. Yeah.
And we got the Nias family. Sean writing in with buy 1313. Open world Star Wars games are so much fun. Rent Zelda because it's Zelda. And Return Prey, the first game was not really for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about a franchise that can't figure out what it is, right? I mean, the first one's about, like, is that a Native American Soul Walker? The second one was going to be an intergalactic bounty hunter. And the third one was Men in Black. Very odd.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark.
Okay. This is a tough one for me. Because I love Star Wars and I love Zelda. So it's a tough concept. I also love retro studios. I love the Metroid games, and I look forward to playing Metroid Prime 4 sometime in 2064-ish, I think, at this point. I'm going to go buy Star Wars 1313 because I think I was really, really pumped for this Mandalorian game concept that just got canceled. And it seemed like a lot of the framework, the feeling of 1313 was kind of poured into that game. It's like the rumors were it was a more gritty kind of Star Wars. It was focused on bounty hunters, which 1313 kind of was, you know, it was gritty and bounty hunter focused. So I think like some of that, the soul from 1313 kind of made its way or inspired this one. And now I don't get to play either. That sucks. So I wish I could bring that one back. We have enough Zelda games. And we just got a great one, so I'm okay with that. We just got a great Star Wars game, but whatever. So I'll rent the retro Zelda game and return Prey 2. And I've never been into that series, so that's not a huge loss for me. Those other two, though, are you know, talk to me tomorrow. I'm gonna flip flop.
It's like choosing. It's like Sophie's Choice.
I mean, I like Zelda and Star Wars tattoos. Like, you can't really make me choose. Come on.
I don't want to know where your new tattoo is, Mark. Please don't show me. No.
The picture of you?
Yes. Oh, that's right. I remember where you showed it to me. Thank you. Very close to your heart.
Secret Friends Only fans get it first.
Right. Yeah. You get to see all our tattoos.
That's everything. Everything real, real up close. What are you choosing here, Todd?
You know, it's weird because we're always going to get a Zelda game. We're always going to get a Star Wars game. So I think of, like, you know, what could have been, what could be with something new. And that intrigues me a lot, the what if, because we don't really, all I got was that trailer, and that intrigues me to no end. And it's like, oh, wow. And I think that time I was writing, you know, my, like, Mass Effect was in my brain. So like, oh, I love space operas. I love new universes and things like that. So I'm going to buy Prey 2. And it's on a hope and a prayer You know, I know it's dumb because it's never coming out. It's not like I'm going to get another Space Prey game. So it's kind of stupid. Maybe they took those ideas and Human Software. I don't even know if they still exist anymore, but it's owned by Bethesda. So maybe somebody digs it up and says, hey, what are you doing? I don't know. It's one of their studios. Make something cool. Oh, wait, they don't allow them to do that anymore. Oh, well. Oh, well, I don't know. But maybe this is what Toys for Bob is going to do. They're going to make Prey 2.
That's exactly in their wheelhouse.
Exactly. I love it. So, yeah, I'm going to say bye, Prey 2. I am going to... I'm going to rent Retro Zelda game. Now, I was looking this up because I didn't realize they actually had planned like two Zelda games in the Zelda universe. They had the Untitled Legend of Zelda game, but they also had pitched a game called Heroes of Hyrule. This game sounds hilarious, and I love it. It's a weird spinoff. A rejected pitch for Legend of Zelda includes a Goron, Zora, and Rito who set out to rescue Link. I mean, that's crazy. So I think that's fun. It's not, you know, and the other one would involve Sheikah. So that would be another interesting to have like another lead in the series of Zelda. So that's why I would say I would buy Retro because they don't make a bad game. They make really, really good games, and they've made games that are all over the place. I mean, they could do a Diddy Kong Racing. They could do, let's see. They did a Donkey Kong Country. They do racing. They do, you know, first-person shooter. So I think they could do something really cool in the Zelda vein and maybe give it some new life before we had Breath of the Wild. And then Star Wars 1313, I think ideas of this game are going into some of the other games. I think those ideas are going to be picked from and be put into a new game. So that's why I'm saying, yes, I'll mourn this, but I think we are getting, like even in the Ubisoft game that we're getting, I think there's elements of that in it. So I think like Lucasfilms does now, they pick from the things that have existed that are not canon and bring them in because they sound like cool ideas. So that's where I'm going. So I'm going to return that because I think it's going to come back to us in the future in another form.
I respect that. Yeah, that all makes sense.
Yep.
That's unusual, Mark. I think this might have been the first time you've ever mentioned that or said that to me.
I mean, your reasoning's pretty sound. Like a new game is exciting, and especially like you said with Star Wars, like you get bits and pieces in those things. And that's why I kind of like openly admit it while I was talking. It was like, I'm going to flip flop on this one. I'm going to be more pissed off that we didn't get this Zelda game, or I'm going to, you know, but like right now Star Wars cancellation is like fresh wound. So I'm just like, no, bring that back. Come on. Do your thing. Yeah. But like, any of these answers, I can see the reasoning behind them.
Well, very good. It was hard to pick these three games, but they stood out to me. There's a bunch of others. So everyone has a game that just like, oh, yep. If only it could have happened. And if anyone has any thoughts on games that I didn't mention here that they'd like to see, let us know. Maybe it's a future topic. You know, we could resurrect that and visit that in the future. So with that, we get into what we've actually been playing with our valuable gaming time. So Clint, kick it off.
Definitely Final Fantasy Rebirth. Hardcore. Well, I shouldn't say hardcore because I haven't been able to get to it too much, but I'm probably about 12 hours in, probably. And of course, Helldivers, definitely. But trying to hit Rebirth as hard as possible is that's probably the original Final Fantasy VII is probably one of my favorite games of all time. So,
nice. Yep, that was my first JRPG. I finished it. I had to use a cheat. Because I couldn't get enough experience, so I don't know how I got the cheat. I don't know if I bought like a what was it?
Game Genie for the PlayStation.
Game Genie. Yep. It would have been Game Genie. Yeah. So I used a thing to get experience because I'm like, I'm never gonna beat this game because I think I went to disc two too early and I couldn't go back or I screwed something up. I know what it is. I couldn't get like the gold chocobo because I screwed up. So I'm like, I gotta figure something out. So that was what I did. So I totally get that. So yeah, that's where I played a little bit of Remake and. It was like, okay, it's not for me. but I love the visuals and things like that. My son destroyed the game. He loved it. And then that got him into Final Fantasy. So nice. I'm actually playing Rebirth, and I'm actually going to put it away. But I, you know, with your understanding of the game, if somebody's new to this Final Fantasy remake, Rebirth, how do you feel that 7 Rebirth, is that something where you could just jump in? They do give you a like previously on, but it's very short.
Yeah, it's a very short. If you wanted to jump into Rebirth, there are some quality of life features in there for sure that if you didn't like the remake, that might entice you a bit more. But I would definitely say you would have to watch a video overview of remake for sure to get caught up to speed, definitely, or else you'll definitely be lost. But if once you're caught up with everything in the story, I think you'd be fine with it. I think the battles are a little bit better. Material usage is better and stuff like that. So more streamlined, I should say. There's a lot of open world activity. So if you're an open world fan and like, it's not as crazy as like Ubisoft open world, but there's definitely a lot of stuff to go around and unlock and explore. So
I don't want to give away any spoilers, but I mean, there's a demo right now. If you own a PlayStation 5, there's a demo you get and you can play that and your progress saves over, which is great. And they just updated, I believe, to include a new area. What I found fun in my short period of time, you get to do a flashback, which I thought was a lot of fun. And as I was playing that flashback and you're kind of actually talking to your friends, explaining the story, it gives you choices on what you can do. And I got chastised for looking in someone's closet.
Yeah.
Kind of like Cloud was a pervert or something, which I thought was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, am I going to regret that choice?
Yep. That's what I thought too. I was like, oh, cause I know technically you're supposed to be able to date further on into the game. I was like, uh-oh, did this screw me over for you know, with Tifa or anything like that? Cause I just figured if I said I was being truthful, you know, it's like, oh, and I get, like you said, I get completely looked down upon, and which I guess warranted, I guess, but
who knew? Creepy people are when you allow them to be creepy, want to be creepy. And I wanted to be creepy. So you know what? Don't give me that offer if you're going to give me consequences for my actions.
Right. It's an RPG. I thought there was a potion in there or something, you know?
Exactly. I had fully gentlemanly reasons for going through people's pantries and their cabinets and drawers.
Video games have had trained you to do that, though.
Right. I mean, yes, like, they have.
Link, that's just this like mythical cryptid who bursts into people's houses, smashes all their pots, screams, "Yeah!" and jumps out the window. Like, it's you're trained to just do that kind of shit in video games, and there's zero consequences ever. So the first time you try it and someone's like, "Don't look at my drawers." Like, it's, what? That doesn't exist.
It was there for the taking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless it says like you're going to steal that and there's consequences, like in Skyrim or something like that, or Starfield. That's about the only time I'm not doing it. And you'll push it as far as you can, because you're like, oh, maybe I won't. And maybe it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully that doesn't come back to bite me later in the game, but we'll see.
You know, it might be one of those awkward things you have to get past each other.
Right. Like, right.
Yeah. The other thing I like about it is I like the fact that I got to play as a playable character that you never got to play in the games, the Final Fantasy VII series, which was very cool. I don't want to give it away. I mean, obviously it's early, but I like the fact that it's a good mix of changing characters, using potions, action combat controls, with a lot of cool nods to the old active time battle system, which was cool, but utilizing it for like more real-time combat. Now there is another option of controls. Does that get you back to more of the turn-based style?
A little bit. It's just, it slows down the action a little bit. So while you're picking like a spell for somebody else to use, it stops the combat, and then, or it slows it down very, very, very slow. So it's almost like a slow time type of thing. So it gives you more time to think about it. So you're not rushing and, you know, clicking something by mistake or something like that. So yeah, it, it's not complete turn-based like the old one was, but does slow it down for you if that's what you're looking for.
Very cool. The only reason I'm asking these questions now, because I played the same game, so I didn't, it probably makes more sense to talk about it now than come back to me on it. So very cool. Anything else? I mean, you said 12 hours. This game is close to, we believe, 70, 80. Do you feel like it's going to be well-paced?
I think so. Like I said, I'm like, so I was talking to Muffin Man from XCP Discord as well, and I'm still in the first area at chapter 2 in about 12 hours, level 23. He was in chapter 5 at level 23. So it's definitely a, you can either breeze right through it and, or, you know, not maybe not breeze, but go right through mainlining it, or you can do that, explore everything, unlock everything as you go, level up, get some better materia type of thing. So I think it's going to be as long as you want it to be, I think. And I want to drag it out.
You'll be waiting 40 more years for the next one. So
right. Yeah, I might as well.
Very cool. And then Helldivers 2, really quick. Last week, I did not get to even, I think I got into the tutorial. I told Mark this. I'm like, the backlogs were so long. It was ridiculous. And I couldn't even get into it.
I think you guys had got it maybe the day before we started recording, and Logan had just got in, but you waited. It was like 24-hour wait. So I think, maybe you might have done the tutorial. But then you were like, 2 seconds before we recorded, we finally got into a match. So that bugger's playing it.
Logan got on Steam.
Really, really curious.
Yep, Logan got on Steam and he was playing right away. And I tell you, this game is so much fun. I played with Clint. I played with Sean Nias. I played with his son. I played with various people from the Discord. I teamed up with Chris from 1H1D, his friend as well. And everybody has been so nice and so helpful. You don't even have to use voice chat, because I think it's pretty easy to know what you're going to do. And it's pretty forgiving when I'm either dying a lot or I accidentally kill someone with friendly fire. They don't hold a grudge. And it was funny. I think Clint, you got killed by somebody right when we were about to get on. When I remember playing with you, we were about to get in the transport and they just killed you right away. And like, oh no, we left you behind.
Yeah, they called in like a last minute airstrike or something. I had just spawned in back in, and I spawned into like the airstrike, which you can't even be mad at. You just gotta laugh. And that game is definitely just full of laughs. It's just so good.
And Mark, there is a nuclear warhead on the battlefield. And you know what Todd decided to do? I shot
it at your own team. Oh, you shot it.
Because it's in the ground. So it's like on the ground. And I'm like, wonder what that'll do. Just exactly what a nuclear warhead will do. Explode and kill everyone.
But it's worth it.
I mean,
it's worth it.
Some people ask permission and some people go through other people's drawers. You know, like you play dumb games, you
it's
win.
There, what else am I supposed to do? Exactly. It's like a button.
Right. That's the most American thing you've ever said. Is it's there? What am I supposed to do? Shoot it. Is the most
conquer it.
Yeah. I mean, it was there. I was gonna shoot it. Come on. That is. Yeah. All right.
It's a hell of a game. It's so much fun, and the fact that it's PvE only. And they are evolving the game. There's going to be updates. They're going to be doing some more things. Right now it's bugs and Terminators, essentially. And that's hilarious because they are each equally horrible and destructive, and apparently, and Clint, you can clarify this if you want to, but apparently there is like almost like a DM who checks out hotspots.
Yeah.
Like a person that actually works with the team, and he's actually messing with people.
Yep. Yeah, he's just like a game master of the board, basically. And during, what was it? I think it was Malevolent Creek or whatever, when we were supposed to defend against the robots. He tweaked the difficulty up on purpose. So when we were trying to save citizens, they would specifically target the citizens. And we just almost could just barely win ever. And it was just, was it, we all, some of us thought it was a bug, the community thought it was a bug, or it was just too over tweaked, and then come to find out, no, this guy just wanted us to have a bad day. And and that's pretty much how it's going to be, which it makes it pretty cool, because you never know what to expect. So it's going to be awesome. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It reminds me of, what was it? Left 4 Dead, where they had the same thing where basically they could heighten the difficulty. They could track where you're at, look at hot spots on the map and know where people are going to do things. And I just love that, because it just becomes like, okay, it's still PvE, but there's still one big bad person that you can't even kill or do anything that's still going to mess with you, which is fantastic. So it's a really cool game. It's, you know, four people per match. It's gotten better in regards to now. I think they're at 700,000 per server. And apparently the game is actually increasing in sales again,
it's
which is just crazy.
Yeah, it is nuts. They had like one, they were showing some stats yesterday. They had one planet, and there's usually like 9 active planets going at once, and one planet had 406,000 players on it. It was just insane.
Man.
Yep.
Man.
Wild.
People at work have been talking about it and raving about it, and they know I'm a gamer, and they've been asking if I've been jumping in. And I made a decision this week that, because I was in that like big purchase kind of mood, and instead of buying a PlayStation, I bought a 3D printer yesterday.
I like it.
Are you going to build a PlayStation 5 with your PDF?
Yeah, that's the second thing. I'm going to print a Benchy and then PlayStation 5. Let's go. I don't know, man. It's been something I wanted for a while, but like so many people talk about this damn game, I'm like, just bring it to Xbox or someone give me a PlayStation. I don't know, man. It's so tempting.
Just borrow your brothers for a weekend.
Yeah.
They'll let ya.
I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just do that, Mark. Yeah. Tell him Todd said it's okay.
Deal.
All right. There you go. You can trade him your 3D printer for a weekend, and he can like make some.
I'll print him a Flexi Rexy. That'll distract him, and I'll be able to steal his console.
Exactly. And he gets to keep that. It's not like you're going to take it away from him, you know?
I'm going to take it away from him, for sure.
You're so horrible. You're so horrible. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'll have to show you some of the things Sean printed for me back in the day with his first printer.
There's one right behind me. It's an Obi-Wan. Yeah,
it's so much fun.
Lightsaber. It's amazing. I love it. I've had that on my shelf since they sent it to me. The Nias family was awesome enough to send me that lightsaber, and it's been right there. And I love it. And I've wanted a 3D printer for years. Probably about 5 or 6 years ago, I designed a 3D M, like the N64N, only it was M because of my name. And and I got my friend's cousin to print that one off. And it was like the first thing that I like designed in 3D, and then like it was just there in my hand. I was like, this is the coolest freaking thing I've ever seen.
That's neat.
And then seeing the lightsaber even more intricate and stuff, it's just like I kind of need one of these. So I have some plans on stuff that I want to print, and I'll be like talking about that more in Discord and stuff. And because I was already asking some people there, and Sean was very helpful in suggestions and
It's a slippery slope, Mark, is all I will say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've already been pricing out, like, different kinds of, like, filament and, like fancy, glittery filament for different stuff that I have. And I'm just like, man, this is just going to be – it's going to be something. It's going to be, like, one of those things where it's like, yeah, you know, it's like I have some fun ideas. I got a great deal on the printer. And like the package with a couple of things of filament and stuff. So like I'm pretty psyched, but like at the same time I was like, this could be Helldivers money. But anyway, I'll stick to my choice.
Well, like I said, steal your brother's PlayStation for like a weekend, play it, and you know, when he's done playing with his toy, maybe he'll forget he doesn't even have it. Yeah.
And then get hooked on it and have to sell my kidney. And it'll be fun times. Good times. Good times. Stuff. Just because I can definitely give up a video game after one weekend, for sure.
Exactly. So if we ever get Mark into Helldivers 2, it'll be a lot of fun. Or buy Steam Deck, and I think it can run on a Steam Deck, maybe? No,
why buy a $600 PlayStation when I could buy a $1,200 Steam Deck? That's so much easier.
$1,200? I don't know how much a Steam Deck is.
They're like $1,000.
When you get the base one for $400.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought they were way more.
There you go. No. They're pretty good. Right. Very cool. So Helldivers 2, definitely check it out. There's awesome people. If you need to find people online, it's very easy to get people into the game. You just click like a one button. Here's my code, and you share with anybody. It's not like the Nintendo code. It's 8 digits long, and you automatically drop in. It's so easy, cross-platform. It's super, super great. I love it. Yeah. Well, very cool. So, Clint, one more game you've been playing, and I've heard about this one. It sounds awesome.
The Deep Rock Galactic Survivor. It's kind of like one of those auto shooter games, kind of like Vampire Survivor type of in vein of that type of deal. But if you've played the Deep Rock, it has your four characters, your engineer, your gunner, there's the driller, and then there's the scout. You can level them all up. The level design is super cool. It's like you're in a mine and you work your way going down to five levels to beat the final boss there. And as you're going through, you're constantly fighting and leveling up your weapons against bugs, but you're also mining minerals. So you can spend those minerals to either level up your weapons and stuff during that run, or you can save them and upgrade your character overall, so the next time you make a run, you're a little bit more powerful to go through. And it's in early access right now, and I think it's pretty cheap. I think it's like $10 or $8.99 or something. Like I said, it's still early access, but there's a ton of content there for early access. So I've got I think like 16 hours, 18 hours into that, I haven't even touched one of the characters yet or gotten to a few of the modes. So there's definitely a lot of content there for like $10. So, and if you're a fan of auto shooters, the new genre that, you know, Vampire Survivors kind of spawned, basically, it's definitely worth it for sure.
Sick.
Every IP should have a Survivors game. Marvel, DC, Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's like, because nobody owns the concept.
Right.
And I mean, even Vampire Survivors, they basically just took all those Konami assets that Konami forgot they even owned and said, let's make a game and have fun.
Yep.
And I did see that. Yeah, I did see Vampire Survivors. They're like doing like things inspired by Final Fantasy. They're bringing like assets that look like old school Final Fantasy. They're doing a couple other things I saw, and I'm like, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Make it vague enough, do a PAL world style, you know, make it just close enough that they can't get sued and go crazy. Is that supposed to come out on, like, because it's like you said, it's on early access now. Is that supposed to be coming to like mobile or
all console? I'm pretty sure all I've heard right now is at the moment it's going to be Steam or PC release, but the main game is on console, so I'm sure it'll make its way once, you know, the early access bugs are kind of out of it and, you know, it's smoothed over type of thing. I'm sure it'll come to consoles for sure, and I could see it running on mobile just fine. It looks fantastic on PC, but there's no reason that modern mobile phones wouldn't be able to handle a version of it for sure.
Yeah, I was very surprised with how well Vampire Survivor ran on like phone, Switch, everything, because like the first place I played it was my Xbox. I was like, there's a lot, even though it's simplistic, like there's a lot of stuff thrown on the screen here and a lot of effects and a lot of things going on. But man, yeah, it just kind of works everywhere.
When I was in Europe, I brought I had a Razer Kishi at the time. It died on me. But I was playing the mobile version because they didn't have to worry about anything. And it was perfect with the Razer Kishi. It was playing on my phone. I loved it. It was fantastic. Did better there than I did actually on console, which was kind of crazy. So, yeah, it's great. Well, very, very cool. Well, thank you, Clint.
Yeah, of course.
Clint's always making us jealous about what he's been playing, what he's up to, and yeah.
That's because I have no self-control. I have such a backlog because of it.
Yeah. And he was just at the Harry Potter symphony where they play the movie with an orchestra in the background. Yeah, that was awesome. I did that a while ago.
that was cool. Fantastic. That was an awesome experience. It's cool.
Nice.
Yep.
Very, very cool. Well, very, very good. Mark, you did a little bit of high seas 3DS action. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, I suppose you can put it that way. Yeah. Anyone that's opposed to pirating or whatever.
A dead system.
Yeah. Turn away.
Nintendo can't sell you anything anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. So turn away. Here's the thing. I will happily pay for a game if I can. And I know from talking a few years ago with Jules Watchem, I know that there have been people, including him, that have wanted to bring Virtual Boy games to the 3DS because it could work. Jules's the Mutant Muds games are very kind of similar to to WarioWare or not WarioWare, Wario Land for Virtual Boy, and like inspired by that kind of stuff. So you can see like the inspirations of some of this and like the desire from developers to be like, hey, we've got like retro remixes and 3D retro games and then straight virtual console. Like, why don't we do this for Virtual Boy? There's 12, 13 games, whatever it is. Let's just put them on there. It can actually run 3D. Let's like in all their red glory. And it never happened until very recently. And someone put Red Viper on the 3DS. Red Viper is a Virtual Boy emulator. And if you have a jailbroken 3DS and the homebrew shop and all that kind of stuff, you can grab this right now. And you can probably find maybe some copies of those 13 Virtual Boy games if you know some Jack Sparrow-esque type people/websites. Not saying that I do or anything, but I've definitely played these games. So put two and two together.
Maybe a box of the 3DS games fell off a truck. And definitely. Mark just happened to find that box.
Definitely fell out. I just ran them. I was walking through the woods as I do, and I stumbled upon these 13 games in a thumb drive, and I put them in, and it was just like, hey, here you go. So I've been playing Red Viper. I've been playing a few of these Virtual Boy games on my new 3DS, which is not like new, but like that's the name of the
new, that, 3DS. Not the new 3DS XL, just the new one with the faceplates.
Just the new 3DS non-XL with the faceplates, yes. This works so well. The 3D effect is superb. It is so great. The layering is there perfectly.
Oh, because it's using the depth of the 3D. It's using the 3D tech. Okay.
The depth is so, so good. Unlike most 3DS games, there's no slider option on these because these games were built specifically for a console that only had 3D. You needed the depth perception. My camera's doing a really weird thing right now. I'm going to like...
It's a little disco.
It's storing Nintendo's outside your house, Mark.
There we go.
it's just the flashlights of the Nintendo.
If some goons come and kick me in the face, you know why. For 13 Virtual Boy games that they haven't paid attention to in 30 years. Okay.
Hey, they came after Yuzu. They're after everybody else. That's it.
True. The slider doesn't work because it's a set depth perception. So it's either full 3D or no 3D at all. You can play them in 2D if you have a 2DS, but I don't think they're as good, or I don't think most of the games are as good. Some of these games, like I said, they were all built for 3D in mind, but some of them, like, I just don't straight up don't think they'd work in 2D. So I've been playing, so far I played, what did I play? Mario Clash, Tennis, and Wario Land. They're the only games that I've played so far. I'm going to get to all of them. But I had played Tennis and Wario Land before on a Virtual Boy back in the day when a friend of mine had one. and it was uncomfortable and hurt my eyes. And this has not hurt my eyes. It's a really, really cool throwback. I'm actually like loving the customization within Red Viper as well. Cause if you don't like red, you can change it to anything. It is still one single gradient, but if you would rather it be gray or blue or green or whatever you think is more pleasing to your eyes, you can very easily set it. There's a couple of like pre-made selections or a full color wheel with a billion colors on it that you can change this to. It is really, really good animation. Emulation. I've not noticed like pretty much any hangups or anything like that. That usually comes with like new emulator software, and you know, it's usually iterated. This is just great. It's just straight up a great throwback. It's really solid. If you have the means of the things that I mentioned already, try this out, try it out. It's a really cool throwback, and I really wish Nintendo would have taken advantage of this while the 3DS was in its prime, because I think there would have been some respect and even just like a cool bit of history there with the 3DS. And like I said, I don't think the Virtual Boy games work on a flat system. So I don't want to see these on the Switch. I don't want to see these on the Switch 2 or any kind of, you know, virtual console or Nintendo Switch online subscription. Like they don't work.
Mark, I have the solution. It's waiting in front of your eyes in a world of cardboard. Labo makes all of this possible. They could have made a little cardboard stand. You could have hunkered over it like you were a 12-year-old boy, with the way it was meant, God intended it to.
Yep.
Have I convinced you? Is this the second time I'm absolutely right this episode?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Because if there's one thing that's deader than the Virtual Boy, I think it's Labo. Let's get two zombies in one. Two zombies always make a fun time.
Come together, you get synergy, and it becomes like it takes off, and like it's second life. The other part, Mark, I looked up in the list of Virtual Boys. So there's essentially, if you get all of the Japanese games and get all of the games that are different regions, there's like 22 games. There's like a murder mystery horror game. There is a lot of vertical force. There's a virtual boy. What is this? Virtual fishing? A virtual lab?
Yeah. There's Labo. Come on. The first one.
There's a water world game. 13. How is there a water world game?
I saw that too. I was like, what is this? How did that even
happen? I have water world downloaded. I'm ready to go.
Kevin Costner said, come on, let's go.
I mean, these games, I guess this could work in VR. I know you were joking with the Labo thing, but like I could see like this emulator Quest. Also working on a Quest or something like that. Like, you know, toss Red Viper on a Quest. Why not? But I really think like anyone with a 2DS, try it out if you're really curious, but like don't rush to it, I'd say. I wouldn't personally rush to it if I had a 2DS, but with the 3D effect, it's pretty badass. Go check it out. And then the other thing I checked out, finally, I've been waiting for a while. I finally just decided to jump in after Pokemon Day. And that's Pokemon Scarlet's The Hidden Treasure of Area Zero DLC. I got the full DLC pack. I'm just kind of starting my way through, I guess, the first bit. I forget what the teal mask or whatever that one's called. It seems fun so far. It's still just as buggy, so don't expect this to fix the game. It's still like, I mean, the core of this game is still a mess, but I'm catching new Pokemon. My son's been helping me give the Pokemon dumb nicknames, he's really into Pokemon. He's really, I read him like the Pokemon ABC book all the time. Including like, you know, 2 hours ago, when I was getting him to bed. So like, he loves it. So it's just fun to be like, hey, here's a bunch of new ones that we can go catch and find for the first time, in a long time. And it's really cool to see some of these Pokemon in 3D for the first time that, you know, especially like Pokemon that I've overlooked or forgotten about for years. It's neat to be able to catch them and check them out in 3D and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so that's really all I've been playing. I've been playing a lot of Kirby still. We beat Kirby in the Forgotten Land, the two of us. So it's fun beating games with a 3-year-old. That's an interesting development. I didn't think that would happen this early, but like he kicked the shit out of that game. It was really cool.
Nice.
I let him play point like he was Kirby for 98% of that game. And I was just a little Waddle Dee with a spear, kind of like trying to keep him out of trouble. Which is like super frustrating. At least give me a Meta Knight. I had like a glorified stick by the end of it. So like he'd have these powered up Kirby abilities and stuff and just be like roasting bad guys. And like he'd be taking off this much health with like one hit of something. And my stupid little spear would still be basically level one the whole time. And I'm just chunking them down like tiny little bits at a time. I'm like, all right, man, I'm trying here, but you gotta throw me a bone. Like, help me defeat this final boss. He's like running away, like, Dad, he can't hit me, Dad, he can't hit me. I'm like, yeah, please hit him. But it's been fun. It's been great.
Please humble my son.
No, I meant like Finn had to come as Kirby and like roast a dude because like I'm just like it'd take me 3 years to take him down as Waddle Dee, but Kirby can come in with his dragon fire power and roast him like a marshmallow. Like that game's so good though, man. It's great.
Well, you've got an unlimited supply of Kirby games from the back catalog, so don't worry about that, Mark. You'll never run out of Kirby games.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like the Return to Dreamland Deluxe was that came out on Switch, and that original one was one of Logan's favorites. And Kirby Epic Yarn is fantastic. All of those, was it Curse Canvas and a lot of fun games.
I just downloaded Planet Robobot.
That's a good one. Logan loved that
3DS
one.
Because he saw a YouTube video of that one. And I was like, you know, because we were looking up some YouTube stuff. And he's like, what's that one? Because he loves robots and he loves Kirby. So obviously that one was like, Robot Kirby? Hello. How are you going to move past this game? So I grabbed that one too.
Very, very good. Well, yeah. You know, it's funny because when, you know, the old days used to be if Kirby games coming out on a console, it's the death knell of the the system. And yet there is no Kirby game announced for this year. So, that tells you something about what's happening in the world. Well, just because we kind of covered most of my games, I'm still playing Banishers. That's the game decided to focus on. I am really enjoying that game. The combat's a little clunky at times, but I like what they're doing. Definitely, I love the storytelling. These people are very Irish and have a lot of thick accents, young colonials, Mark. So it's great. The guy could be you, Mark. He's got a lot of red, a lot of beard, and a lot of, you know, like pale Europeanism is in him. So there you go. But it's a really good game. So I really like this team. Don't Nod with Vampire was their first big entry into like good storytelling plus like some combat versus was it Stranger? I'm trying to remember what the games they did before. True Colors, decision based with teenagers and typically angst and mixed with choices. So this is like their foray into like more like traditional story based RPG with good storytelling. So I really like it. So more to come with that. As I look for it, I've got about a month before the next big, you know, or another 3 weeks before the next big flurry of games comes. Cause apparently March 22nd, they just had to drop like three of the biggest games in 1 week, which is dumb.
Awful.
So knock out your games, folks.
Yep.
Cause they're going to keep coming. Don't worry. It's not like April has a lot of releases or May, you know, why not push them there? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. So that's what I've been gaming and up to. I was hoping to play Balatro cause that's like the new hotness. It's like basically a roguelike poker game, that is on console and on PC. I was going to play a demo and this is weird about Steam. They put demos out, but they don't last forever. They'll pull them off. They'll remove them. And I was going to play it just to get a feel for it because I heard it had a pretty hearty demo and it's gone now. So I'm like, people are just pay $15 for it. I'm like, I'm cheap. And and if I'm not sure, I need to play a demo. So maybe a new demo will come up. That game looks really cool too. So But I've heard it's going to come might be coming to mobile too. And for me, that's where the game should be. I like card games on my phone. You know, it's great toilet time. So until that happens, and I'm paranoid about dropping the Switch in the toilet. So don't even mention that. Don't mention that.
Yeah. You'd rather drop your phone than a Switch? How cheap is your phone?
My phone's waterproof.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. All right.
The Switch is not waterproof. We know that.
I'm just saying. All right. Yeah. Okay.
I knew what you were getting at, Mark, there for two. I was like, wait a minute.
I'd much rather replace a $1,200 phone than a $300 Switch.
I'm sure my phone will survive a toilet drop than my Switch.
All right. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. Fair
enough. And I know I've got another year until another Switch is coming out. So, you know, that's a fool's errand right there, Mark. Yeah. Glenn, don't judge me.
Just bring it in whenever the Switch 2 launches and then you give you excuse.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and then with Yuzu going away, what am I supposed to do? I own the games. Oh, just kidding. So that is it for what we've been gaming. And before we get into the bonus round, here's a wonderful ad about the wonder of Zencastr. Enjoy. Hey, Secret Friends Unite. Let me tell you about Zencastr. We use them for our show, and now they're supporting us. Zencastr is now the all-in-one solution making podcasting easy. It's the ultimate web-based podcasting solution. It provides high-quality audio and video podcast production and hosting. With a full suite of professional tools, podcasters can seamlessly record, produce, and publish studio-quality content all from one dashboard. Being a creator has never been easier. And we chose Zencastr because of the ease of use, high quality output, and it makes it super easy for our guests to come on. We had multiple solutions we tried before, and Zencastr has just been the best fit for us. Why Zencastr? It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sounds and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of Zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with the click of a button. So if you're interested in making an easy, high-quality podcast just with the click of a browser button, go to Zencastr.com/pricing and use my code SFU1. You'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experiences I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story. Now back to the show. All right. Well, it's time for the bonus round. And folks, our job here is to not focus on the doom and gloom, but to first tell you about the doom and gloom and then find the rainbows, the silver lining, the unicorns, the leprechaun's gold, pot of gold. That's what we're here to do this week. So we're going to give you the bad news, but then come up with the good. So with that, 2024 is looking like a rough year. It's not going to be the banner year of releases like we got in 2023. And part of that is because most likely, a lot of the good people that make our games are getting laid off by companies that I don't know why we keep giving them second chances. It's like that girlfriend that's bad for you, and she keeps coming back. Oh, baby, we're going to change this time. And they don't. They don't at all. Sony has laid off, I believe, 900 people. EA has laid off 650 people, I believe, this time. But last year, EA laid off 6% of their workforce. So it's like they didn't learn. And part of the issue is now with these layoffs, we're hearing it's not just people that are being impacted. Obviously, that's the most important part, but it's also the games they are making. Sony closed their London studios. They also have canceled multiple games, even including a Twisted Metal online game. When they have a hit Twisted Metal series on TV, a live action or a online Twisted Metal game. There's not many, there's not no games in that space right now. But they canceled that. EA, we already talked about The Mandalorian being canceled, and now they're walking back and they say they want to get out of the licensed game, you know, area of gaming, because they say they can't make enough money and they have to pay the rights. And we're also hearing that, but we are hearing that the Black Panther game and the Captain America game are safe, or Iron Man game. And the Black Panther Captain America game is safe. So any comments about that particular part of the gloom?
It's been a rough year for sure with the layoffs, it seems. And just when you hear of like the games that have been canceled and stuff, and the fact that they're always touting all these record profits and stuff, but yet we can't keep on, you know, a handful of people. I mean, granted, 800 people is a lot of people, but for a giant company like Sony or EA, that's a handful of people. So it is gloomy, that's for sure, sadly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of expected this with Microsoft, as much as that sucks. But like when you get those kind of big mergers and that kind of stuff, there's going to be, as corporate and sleazy as this sounds, but like there's going to be redundancies, right? Like there's going to be two people that have the same job and you only need one of them. And that sucks. Absolutely. That
How would
sucks.
You like to be called redundant? You know, that's just so dehumanizing.
Yeah. But yeah, absolutely. I've been essentially told that before. I wasn't redundant, but it was like, you know, that kind of word, it sucks. It stays with you. It blows. But like if any company was going to do that this year, that's the one I expected to do it, because there were such big mergers. There were such, like, the Activision thing. And I think Activision, you know, it seemed like part of their problem was that they did have a little bit too much, or there were things that could have been changed there, and especially like some management mix-ups and that kind of thing. So I kind of like, I looked at that merger as like, this is going to suck for a lot of people. But then seeing it for PlayStation and seeing it for EA is just like, man, like this just sucks all around. It doesn't matter if you did one of the biggest mergers in gaming history, or if you're just like feeling like being shitty this year. Like it just seems like it's just punching from all around. And Todd, like you said, it's like that relationship where it seems now that people are going to start getting games out of the industry. Like when a game company would close, a lot of times, you know, this person would go here and that person would go there, and we'd hear about these people joining new teams, or there'd be places for most of them or a lot of them. But this time it's like, where did this many people go? You know, where do this many game creators and you know, talented people, where do they go? They're not able to stay in this industry. And that's the worst part, is like that talent isn't, I don't think, being absorbed like it used to be. And it's like, that's the part that kills me. It's just like, man, this is like dream crushing. It's there's no longer like, cool, we'll go to another company and we'll try again. Like you said, I think people are getting out of this toxic relationship, and that just sucks. And you know, I know gaming is a business. I know that they have to make money to keep making games and that kind of thing. But I hope we're not headed for some sort of like corporate greed breaking point where all of it falls apart because the games that they churn out are all crap. And, you know, people play like Fortnite and Helldivers, and then another, you know, 20 games just die, and studios close. Like I think that the industry's better when there's original ideas and talent that goes to every type of game, you know, just like movies. You can have a big blockbuster Marvel movie, but you can also have intelligent movies and rom-coms and simple movies and documentaries. And I think if every single gaming thing is just a live service Fortnite knockoff, then it's like this industry sucks now. Let's do something else. It's just, I don't know, man. There's a lot of doom and gloom for sure. And hopefully the layoffs are kind of like easing back now again. And it is this time of year, right? Like it's, you know, like year end for a lot, like that kind of thing like coming up. So it's like, maybe this is it. And it, you know, rough economic times, I guess, but like you're saying, like record profits, it's hard to use that as a scapegoat excuse, whatever. So, it just sucks.
It does. I shared a screenshot that PC Gamer put together. They're tracking the layoffs. And since January 2023, so essentially a rolling 12 to January 2024, 16,000 people. The scary part is of that number, January saw the highest number of layoffs per month in the last 12 months. I mean, they have like this a representation of a dot equals a person. So it shows a clustered, like this is a real person. In January is just ridiculous. So as you mentioned, Mark, as we get closer to the end of fiscal years, my company does a fiscal ends in May and June starts a new fiscal year. I think Nintendo goes through March and Sony does probably something like that. So a lot of this is just a lot of the industry reacting. And it's just not games. It's everybody else doing like, hey, we're all going to take 8% of our workforce out. It's like a number. Sounds good. Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. A lot of it is to hit profit numbers, less people. People is the biggest part of a company's layouts. So, you know, at this point, I think Apple may be the only one. And Apple, you know, kind of it came out that Apple's canceled their car, but they're just going to shift those people to another part of the company because they are so successful. But we thought Microsoft being the most successful company of all time at $3 trillion would be like, you could absorb that. And you'd be okay because, yeah, but enough about that. We are hoping that people find new jobs. I am seeing, and I would love it to have people more vocally say, I found a job. And I am seeing some of those people that are finding like, I saw somebody in Minecraft just got hired as a community resource. But I'm like, well, that's Microsoft. Couldn't one of these people have just been moved to that position? So that's kind of like a plus one minus one. So I don't know. I'm hoping we get some of that. And I know there's some people that are going to get out of this that had maybe a golden parachute from a company that let go. I know Marcus Leto, he was at EA. He's moved away. And hopefully he'll form his own company and need a great staff. And he can hire those people on and do his own thing. So that maybe leads me into, I'll do a little good, a little bad. So a little good is Toys for Bob and Saber Interactive are going indie. Yep. So this is good news in regards to the fact that people would say, well, Toys for Bob, they were owned by Activision. They came along for the ride when Xbox acquired them. They did get layoffs already occurred there. They were impacted by those layoffs of 1,900 people at Microsoft. And people are like, well, and it sounds like they're going to then work with Microsoft now that they're independent. Mm-hmm. They essentially are probably going to lose all of their IPs or anything that they might have owned. But the good news is that I think in this state, having your own independence, at least you get to be in charge of what happens to you next versus, oh, by the way, we're getting rid of your studio or we're getting rid of your team or dispersing them. And you're just like a shadow of your former self and you're going to be working on Call of Duty the rest of your lives. This might be for the positive. So that is a good thing. And with them having a relationship with Microsoft, it means they can probably play with their IP catalog and make a game, and Xbox doesn't have to pay for those people anymore. They can just fund the game. So in a lot of ways, it's a pro, because then they Toys for Bob say, I want to work on this versus you tell me, sure, we'll let you work on that because you no longer have to support all of your people and give them healthcare, but we're going to fund your game. So it might be a win-win, and then they can be an independent player and play with Microsoft. They could play with Sony. They could make their own IP. Like we got, what was it, the ukulele team? They made their own game after they, you know, left Rare. And then we've got Saber Interactive, a team that was bought by the Embracer Group for $525 million. So many years ago, they were able to acquire resources from outside sources, buy their independence from Embracer Group for $500 million. So Embracer Group lost $25 million in like nothing to show for it. So Saber Interactive is going to be indie, and they were the team that was supposed to do the Knights of the Old Republic remake or remaster, reboot, whatever it was going to be. What if Sony says, okay, we'll fund the game. Make that for us, please.
They're apparently still working.
Yeah, and they've got a good relationship with Disney, with Sony and those things. So, I mean, that could be a good thing because Embracer Group was essentially just acting as a third party, acquiring devs, and they had no clue what to do with them.
Yeah.
And they've really stumbled. So that's the good news. So, I mean, any thoughts on that? Like, you know, I mean...
I'm super glad Toys for Bob has gone indie. I think they have some very, very talented people over there. And when they were acquired by Activision, and then Activision back in like 2021, I said, it was like, hey, Toys for Bob is now going to be working on Warzone. I was like, that is such a waste. Like, I liked Warzone back then, but I was like, it is such a waste of talent there. So when the buyout from Microsoft was happening, that was the first thing I thought of. I was like, maybe Toys for Bob can actually do their own thing or make a game that they're qualified for. So I'm pretty excited about that. And as well as Saber Interactive, just getting away from Embracer, anybody getting away from Embracer, I'm happy about at this point in time.
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
And I'm trying to think, I'm just trying to think of what else Saber Interactive has made to give me an idea of what type of games they could make beyond the Knights of the Old Republic. I'll look that up and you talk.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, basically just mirror what you said about Toys for Bob. Like, they were such, and like, Call of Duty is Call of Duty. It's, you know, one of the top games in the world for a reason. They're always entertaining, but yeah, you're so right. Like, putting that team specifically who do such great innovative games, they wanted to do something different with Skylanders and Toys to Life, and just that kind of creativity being like a backup team for Call of Duty was right. just like harrowing at the time, especially as a big Skylanders fan. So yeah, I hope whether Microsoft lets them deal something with Skylanders or tackle something again with Crash or any other fun IP, give them Banjo, give them this, give them whatever it is. Like, there's some fun stuff that they can do there. Or nobody's doing Toys to Life. Like, take Skylanders, rebrand it, get rid of Spyro, arguably one of the least interesting Skylanders designs, and just do something cool. Like, whatever. Here's our brand new, totally original IP, Airlanders. And it's just, you know, like, this, and all your old Skylanders TM work mysteriously on this new portal. Isn't that amazing, folks? Like, just, there's so much that team could do. I am so pumped for them to be just being able to do what they want.
Yeah, even if they just said, hey, Xbox, we can make you a Skylanders digital collection, remove the toys because people may not own them. If they want, maybe we'll sell some portals or something like that. But that's more of a nice to have, because there's actually a Disney Infinity version on Steam that is completely digital. You don't need the toys. It's there now. You could buy it if you want. Mark, Steam Deck is all I'm saying. but once again, they could do that very easily.
Yeah. What's it called? The Starship Field. Star Fox?
Starship whatever. Field Fox?
I don't know. The one with Star Fox. Game. That game figured this out long ago, man. Because
they had a digital version.
Digital version, and you could just get the DLC that you wanted to, the little packs, or you could go out and buy the figures, and it just worked so well. I had the one with the Star Fox figure, and I never used it. I think I might have used it once just to be like, okay, cool, I can put the thing on the ship and then whatever. And then I just bought like all the DLC and could swap out the ship parts and all that kind of stuff just at will without worrying about some rinky-dinky little toys or whatever. But like, that balance of not worrying about like taking up Walmart's shelf space or like these figures, like cool, I'd love to have some because I have a 3-year-old, but otherwise, like, if I can just DLC it all, awesome. I have the option to get a couple of figures and I can just digitally grab the rest. Sign me up. Someone needs to do it like that. I still think there's some life left in Toys to Life. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah. Saber Interactive, getting back to them too. They have done a lot of ports. Like, they ported The Witcher to the Switch. So Xbox, wow, I think, has some games. Like, Sony has Bluepoint that does a lot of their old games and gets them up to speed. Xbox could work with them and say, hey, you are going to work with us on getting all of our old Fallout games in, you know, up Fallout 3. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be awesome. You're going to get us New Vegas, not just like the up-resed version. You're going to get us a, hey, this is the remake. And it's going to be for everybody because that's a 360 game and it shows its age. So, and they could also make their own games. They've done a lot of different games that are out there. So I think they have promised. They did the World War Z games, which I know a lot of people liked. They worked on the Master Chief Collection as well. So they've got a relationship with Microsoft, so they could help them out, but they could also finally make their own projects they want to.
Awesome.
So now we're going to do a little bit of sad news. Mark, this really hurts you the most. We thought we were going to get a Switch sequel in 2024. Now we're hearing it's 2025. We thought we were going to get a Pokemon game in 2024. Now it's going to be 2025. So the only thing we know about Nintendo with this year, it's going to be remasters, or I think DayZ is their only remaining Princess Peach, sorry, is the only like original new game that is still on the docket for this year on Switch. And if we know there's a new system coming out next year, I'm assuming we aren't going to get like any huge big titles, you know, because they want to have those for launch. So with all of that, Switch was supposed to be like Nintendo was supposed to be like the light of hope. It was going to be the one that saved us as everything was burning around us. So with that, what do you think? I mean, we don't really know what's in Nintendo's back pocket at this point.
Surprisingly, I'm super happy about all of this. And there's a couple of specific reasons. Of course, I wish I had a new shiny new Pokemon game to play this holiday. Of course, I wish that I could celebrate, because today, I think, or yesterday was 7 years since the Switch launched, right? So exactly like 7 years, close to the day, because the like memory picture today from 7 years on my phone was me giving the Switch that I found, because I had ordered one and the shipment got delayed. So I found one. I was going to return the one that I ordered once it eventually arrived like the week after. So I found one and then found that there was a kid who had saved up for like a year or two and didn't get one. So I was like, damn it. And I gave the kid the Switch instead of keeping it to myself. And so I remember that. And the memory came up of me like handing this kid the Switch and stuff. And I was just like, yeah, okay. So like, Switch 2 can come along at any point now, you know, because like I remembered that like excitement, that hype 7 years ago. However, I also obviously remember that it was hard to get, that supply issues were real, that scalpers and stuff that like would set out with bots and stuff. That sucks. So if the Nintendo, if Switch 2 is being delayed into 2025, I'm hoping that those supply issues aren't a thing. I'm hoping that they ramp up production. I'm hoping that this thing is everywhere and that they know what they're doing and they're delaying it for a reason. And if Pokemon is the same kind of thing and they're waiting to launch in 25, they're waiting to make this thing more polished than the turd that was one of my favorite games when it came out, Scarlet and Violet. I love the game for Pokemon. I don't love the game for the 2 frames a second performance that I experienced last night. Yes, shine that turd. Shine it all you want. Take some extra time, take an extra year, and please make that the shiniest poop in the whole damn land. So like these things, yeah, they kind of suck, but like at the same time, bring them on. Cause, we like, I would rather everything go right than everything just be like, you can't find Switch 2. Six people have it and they're running a really, really crappy Pokemon game. That's no fun for anyone.
No. No. Clint, I mean, with Nintendo not here to save the day, what do you think? I mean, do you think Nintendo will still have a good 2024? Or does this just feel like it's perfect time for the swan song? People will still buy games, and they'll buy Switches for the holiday.
Yeah, as popular as the Switch is, I don't think it's going away anytime soon. And as Mark said, I think they could have released it this year, but I think it's going to be product that they want to make sure it gets out there and into enough people's hands, because just the most recent releases of the PS5 and Series X, it was when they first came out, it was near impossible to get it, and it was like a downer that you couldn't get a console that you wanted to play games on and stuff. So and as popular as the Switch is, you know that's gonna sell like absolute hotcakes. So hopefully they have something in plan for it to be able to get distributed well. And when they were showing off they had the Pokemon event, and they just showed like a CGI basically or movie of the new Pokemon that was coming up, and they were like, oh, 2025, they're pretty much cemented in stone to me anyways that we weren't going to see the Switch 2 until then.
Yeah.
I think we'll still have a strong year for sure though.
Yeah. It also gives us some hype. Like Nintendo can drop the news that Switch 2 is coming out at any point and just say, look, we know like this holiday season is going to be great with Princess Peach and with this remake and that thing. And we're going to come out because, you know, Nintendo's going to drop some surprises on us in the summer. That's going to be like, this is the holiday game. Enjoy it, suckers. Cause Mario Wonder was amazing. And that was,
well, Mario Wonder dropped. Yeah.
You know, like, so like that, like Nintendo has that kind of stuff ready to go, but they could also at any point just be like, hey, you guys want a sneak peek of the Switch 2? It's happening tomorrow at 10. Like Nintendo does that shit all the time and we love it. So like, give me a year of hype. Let's go. I love that stuff, especially as like a content creator, podcaster kind of thing, like talking about that kind of stuff. Bobby Pauls and I used to just like, riff on this stuff. Like, what's the Switch going to be? Right. We made content through the Wii U era. Do you know how boring that was? But like, we made it work and we made it fun. Give me another bit of that kind of hype of like, what do we want from Switch 2? Where some actual trailers and information are dropping and Nintendo's teasing us a little bit. Like, yes, bring that on. Like, that's going
to
be fun.
I remember when people talked about Devil's Third. That third of a game, and people are like hype for that. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You're just lying to make yourself like not cry at night.
Somewhere
in that game, apparently, if you bought it,
perked up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, apparently, if you own a copy of that game, it's worth a lot now because they made like two. So check your shelves, folks. I loved calling that Devil's Turd. So polish that turd, Mark, because that's going to come out on Switch 2. No. It's a launch title. So, yeah, I mean, I think that is a good, because if it came out in the holiday is the worst time for a system to come out because it is very lean to get and people are sad and, you know, you only get like a couple of games on the system and it's just like it's worse. So I loved the Switch playbook coming out in March where you got the early adopters, the must haves. And by the time the holiday came around, their supply chain was pretty much set. They had a lot of good games ready to go and then they could do a big holiday game. And like nobody was the worst space for it. And quite honestly, you know, the people that are going to still buy a holiday this fall or December or whatever, I don't think they know that if a Switch 2 exists, they aren't going to know anyways. So it's like, I think anybody who's going to buy a Switch is just going to buy a Switch for Tim because it's $200, Switch Lite or whatever. So, and it becomes, and it adds Mario Kart once again in the bundle. And they'll buy it because, you know, Timmy needs one and mom and dad knows about Switch. So I think there's nothing to worry about this. I think it also allows them to put out some games that are smaller, satisfy the hardcore. I heard there is a Fire Emblem game that is just done and they're just going to release it whenever. And that's exactly what they're going to do. When there's a lull, put a game out, you know, and it's just enough. And yeah, they'll be okay. It's year 7 of the damn Switch. I mean, if anybody was expecting it to be like a juggernaut again, it's okay. And Nintendo makes more money. And I think they are going to surprise us and it'll give us something to get excited about. Hopefully they don't make us wait too long because we'd love to hear it like this summer. That'd be great to hear about it. And, you know, launched in March. So that'd be fantastic. So yeah, hopefully some good news there. So what I'm going to say this at this point, because I've kind of checked off most of the news parts. But lastly, as we wrap up this segment, I think the thing to look forward to this time is I think we're going to see less games overlooked and overshadowed, which is great. There is a lot of games coming, a lot of good stuff. And I think last year, a lot of games got stepped over, like bodies, because the biggest thing was out there and it was going to take you 100 hours to play Starfield. It was going to take you this long to play that game. So I think that is the positive. I think other games will be surprise darlings. We already had Prince of Persia that launched this year that I don't want to get forgotten. I want that game to do well. I love that game. We've had great fighters this year. I know Sony won't have a big first party game this year, but they do have a lot of third party exclusives that look pretty cool. Yep. So other games are getting to shine this year that are awesome. And then you know what? Microsoft is in such a good spot because they have at least 4 titles plus Call of Duty that's launching this year. So they should have the best year ever because they don't have to worry about competing really with Nintendo or PlayStation this year with their big guns. So I think there's some positives here, especially if you own Game Pass. You're going to have a great year. If you own PC, you'll get to play some PlayStation games because I'm guessing those old games will get released on PlayStation or on PC, which will be great. And, people won't be pirating Switch anymore because Yuzu's shut down. So they actually buy some games.
Exactly.
So that's what I'm hoping is the positive as we look at this. Games get to shine. And, we're going to have some darlings that we never thought were going to be the biggest thing in the world and really make us happy. And that's where I'm really excited for this year. Clint, do you have a bright spot or a rainbow for 2024?
I think honestly, it's like the indie studios shining this year so far. Like Palworld came out of nowhere, 10-man group, and sold millions upon millions of copies. And then Helldivers 2 came along. Their first game saw, I think it was like 7,000 concurrent players. So they weren't expecting to have almost a million concurrent with PlayStation involved. So it's just cool to see indie games kind of taking a light at this time, especially with Helldivers 2 with their live service. Their monetization is perfect with what they have on there. They've got a free battle pass, which if you complete has enough currency that you've earned in it to buy the premium battle pass. So you technically, if you just play the game, you get everything. You can buy it separately if you want to bank it quicker. But I think it's time for indies to really shine and take on the bigger companies. So I think that's a good light to see this year.
Yeah, nice. Balatro, the card game, that thing's selling like hotcakes and it got my attention. So I think that's the fun part. And, you know, I think Mark is just happy that he can now finally play Teleboxer on his 3DS.
Exactly. That's the bonus. That's the silver lining for me. Mine's exactly what I said. That hype train for 2025. Not just from Nintendo, but for all the stuff that could come up. But for me, it is largely, you know, Nintendo and Pokemon and something new coming, new hardware, new kind of like refreshed interest in Nintendo and what they can do. That excites me. That's always a fun thing to talk about. And I hope we get some teases this year and trailers and that kind of stuff. Exactly like the Switch launch where they drop a trailer and it's like, here we go. Everyone else, you know, do your holiday thing, but like, you know, whatever, late November, December, whatever it is, it's like, we've got something coming. Here's a trailer. Yeah, it's an exciting time.
Yeah, I am excited for the next year coming up. You know, cue that Imagine Dragons song, show the trailer of the next Switch. It's going to be fantastic. Yeah, and we're going to have a lot of shows. Hopefully this is a better year for all our shows. And, you know, I mean, you think our wallets need a rest a little bit too? Yeah. And hopefully our services that we pay for will get fully utilized. You know, whether you stream, wherever you go. Yeah. So I think this is going to be a very interesting year after the crazy year of 2023, and hopefully maybe even getting back into your library and said, hey, you know, I meant to get back to that game. Like yeah. My Cyberpunk, I need to finish, Cyberpunk 27, that game I need to finish. So, you know, I need time. I need to try out, Baldur's Gate 3 because I've got it. Never really got into it. So,
yeah. Man, Finn and I beating Kirby was the first time I beat Kirby. Like, that's the first time I finished the final boss there in that game. Was like Finn and I playing it the other day, and just like that was an amazing game. And I finally got back to it with my 3-year-old. Like, that's crazy. Awesome. It was so much fun. And that's like, so yeah, going back to those kind of games and just experiencing in that, like with that kind of new fresh take on it with Finn, but like, just getting back to games that it, like I either haven't played in years or like never went back to finish. Like, I love it. Yeah. It's great.
This is going to be the year of the PC because they don't have to deal with us minions. You know, they can upgrade their hardware however they want. The games stay there. It's the biggest library in the world. So maybe we'll talk Mark into another stupid purchase this year. We'll see. Well, very good. Thank you, Clint, for joining us. Tell people where they can find you. Not find you.
No, I like being found. It's a good thing. Basically, pretty much just on Threads mainly. You can find me at Ryuketsu 2043 over there. Update it with game content and what I'm playing and stuff. And other than that, over at the XCP Discord too, causing havoc over there. So, but yeah, it's been a pleasure to be here. So thank you very much. It's been great.
Yeah, we need more people like Clint in the world who are more than happy to help people play the games they love, support them, not mock them when they're bad like I am and kill people by accident.
It's half the fun of Helldivers, so no worries.
Thank you so much for being on. And you know what's funny, folks? I said, hey, Clint, you want to join us one of these weeks? And he's like, you free tonight? Like, yeah, come on in. So this is a last minute drop. Yeah. Just like I called him in, did the Konami code, and Clint dropped down in his Helldiver suit. And he said, let's podcast.
he wouldn't shoot a nuke. And look who showed up.
It by like 2 hours. And I was like, no, I missed my shot. I missed my chance. And then you're like, well, no, we're like 8 central. I'm like, I could still pull this off. So I'm like, you need somebody tonight? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is perfect. Yeah, you know, so I didn't even have to give him a cup of liberty, as we would say in the Helldivers world with all their puns, their Starship Troopers world. So thank you so much, Clint. It's been a joy. Yeah, check out Clint on Threads over there. It's apparently there's 2,402 other Ryuketsus?
I'm not sure where that number came from. I'm a huge Alien Predator fan, and it was some year in a Predator book, and I was like, 15-year-old me thought it was cool, and it stuck with me.
Yeah, those handles we have, they're like, I don't even remember where it came from.
Left, so. I guess.
Yeah. I moved on from my high school with my graduation year and the gamer tag. I moved on from that. Now I just got a stupid one with my college. So I'm moving up. So there we go. Mark, how can people reach you?
You can find me on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok as Canardian_gamer.
And Nintendo jail or yes.
Yeah, or jail for pirating 13 Virtual Boy games.
Hey, you live close to the ocean, Mark. What you know, you're pretty They'll easy pickings as me. They pillage. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So and you can follow me on Threads at @Teoxtra, @SecretFriendsUnite, and the same things on Twitter as well, except it's SecretFriendsU because they only let me have like 8 characters. So screw you, Elon. So that is it for this week's co-op mode, folks. Thanks for joining us in the world of video games. We try to have fun, try to play games. And remember, folks, it's always better to game together.
This podcast is part of the Secret Friends Unite podcasting network. Visit secretfriendsunite.com for more great shows, articles, news, reviews, and more. Secret Friends Unite podcasts are available on Apple, Google, Spotify, and other podcast services around the world. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, you can join us on Facebook or our new Discord server, or follow @SecretFriendsU on Twitter. Please subscribe to Secret Friends Unite on YouTube and visit our merch store at